The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. What a day. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. He's back tomorrow from his fancy trip. Connor Thomas in my spot. Jen Scordo in her normal spot. Booney producing on the TV side. 610-632-0975. Oh, we'll talk about the Sixers. And we'll talk about the Eagles with Dave Zangaro because the owners' meetings are happening and the Eagles actually signed a linebacker. And that's all fantastic stuff. And trust me. Line up now, 610-632-0975, because if I'm being completely honest, I would prefer to talk about those things. But I live in the real world, and the word of the day, as we start, is the word reaction. You see, everyone knows that I cape for math. Everyone knows that I am, at the heart of hearts, a science geek, number one, more than sports, more than anything else. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Word of the day. I've talked about this concept before, but it seems like people, again, I will talk about sports if people want to, but see, people seem to be wanting to talk about this slap because apparently this slap, for some, was the most heinous thing they've ever seen in their lives. I cannot believe this. This will teach generations of children that you can just slap somebody, and then you can have other people saying, oh, no. Today's a dark day for comedians. No comedian could ever tell a joke again. And other people are saying that Chris Rock deserved it because of the slap and blah, 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 blah. Well, first things first. No one cared about the Oscars this year. People didn't see the movies. It's still a weird world with the COVID and everything. All of a sudden today, everybody's talking about it. On the local news, the slap was the lead story on the news. Nothing in the world. Last night or today, more important in the world happened than a really, really rich guy slapping another really, really rich guy in tuxedos, no blood, and we move on with our lives. Now, again, I'm not a violent person. I want to make it clear. I'm not a violent person. Violence is rarely the answer because it's rarely the answer. But a slap and a punch are not the same things. So, basically what I'm saying is, I realized why we were talking about it last night. It was Will Smith, right before he wins Best Actor, he slaps Chris Rock. Okay, I get it. It was like a slap. Like, I don't know. Did it seem like Connor? Did it seem like Chris Rock was injured?
No, he continued to talk. Yeah, he took a little bit of a breather and then went back to talking and doing his hosting duties, so he seemed all right.
Now, we know, I want to make it very clear at the top of the show, we know that you're not supposed to slap people. We know that you're not supposed to slap people. Jennifer, have I made that clear that you're not supposed to slap people?
Right, no violence is the best.
At the same time, I don't know about you guys, I've seen somebody get slapped before. You know what I did? Whew, I wonder what that guy said. Because the slap is more disrespectful than the punch. Now, again, violence is wrong. But the slap, the open hand slap across the face, is more disrespect than the punch, which is clearly intended to injure or maim. Like, every punch you throw is meant
to knock the guy out. It's just rarely do you have the punching power with both hands to knock a guy out. I like to think I can get somebody out of there with one with either hand. If you make me step to the left, I can get you with the left hand or the right hand. That's how I like to think. But the slap is more of like a disrespect thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's akin to a curse word almost.
Yeah, the slap. So if you want to talk about the slap, because it seems like everybody's talking about it, 610-632-0975. What I'm not going to engage in today, though, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to start going over these think pieces that people have decided to write about how this was a dark day for Hollywood. If you don't just get out of here, you know what? I'm not going to go. We know that that's not the worst thing to ever happen in Hollywood. If you think that was the worst thing to ever happen in Hollywood, don't call. Listen, because you need to learn. Watch, because you need to learn, but don't call. Because the call is going to be really short, and then I'm going to be mad at you. I'm going to hang up on you, make funny after you hang after I hang up, or I'm going to make funny while we're on the line. Don't do it. Do you guys agree that the slap was not the worst thing to ever happen in Hollywood history?
No.
Yeah, not remotely. Not top 100.
Ever heard of OJ? Come on.
it's not. It's just not. Woody Allen is right now with, you know what, it doesn't matter. We know that that's not the worst thing, but clearly, because of Philadelphia ties, and because no one expected it, because, I mean, no one thought, well, sure, during the Oscars this year, Will Smith's going to jump on stage to protect his wife, in a way, and slap Chris Rock. Like, nobody can see it coming. Last thing, Jamie Lynch. I want to give Jamie Lynch a lot of credit from the John Kincaid show. He has dealt with a certain thing for his whole life. He knows that it's not easy to deal with when we're talking about alopecia. That is what Jada Pinkett Smith currently has. You can dismiss it if you so choose. I'm not an expert on such things. He is. He said this morning that you think that you can handle it until you go through it and it messes with your mind. I'm going to defer to him. He did not need to bring that up. I applaud him for bringing it up and being brave enough to discuss that particular situation. So, and the last question I want to get to before we get into full sport, because I promise, I would prefer to talk about the Sixers Suns. I would prefer to talk about the NFL owners meetings and maybe some more moves that may come out of it. The draft is getting closer. You got a bunch of the coaches, a bunch of the owners, a bunch of the GMs all in one place. Usually action happens. I would love to talk about that. But again, we live in the real world. When it comes to a spouse, rules are different. Why? I don't know. Or I can just be honest. I have one actual controversy, which to me wasn't that much of a controversy, but people like to bring it up to like burn me on social media. I'm sorry. The way I went about it, I wouldn't do again. Would I do something again? Yes. Because when you're dealing with a spouse, it's different. Now, it just is. Should it be? Should it not be? Whatever. Anybody out there that's married or have had a longtime partner knows that something that might be okay Sunday to Sunday under normal circumstances instantly changes if your significant other is bothered by something. That played a role in this. Whether it should or shouldn't. And again, I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that violence is the answer. What I'm saying is that many times, there have been many a man who has gotten a fight with many a man over something that other man said about said spouse. Should it happen? Well, obviously nothing should happen. But if we're being honest, things happen sometimes in life when you're dealing with significant others and feelings. It's the reality. Okay? Connor, you're not a married man, but you've been around. You've been in them streets. Forget significant other for 1 second. How many times in your life have you seen in college and since college and working and doing what you're doing, going around the city, where two fellas end up fighting completely over a woman?
Oh, too many times to count.
It's a thing.
It happens often.
Often. Jennifer, you probably won't fess up to it, but I would imagine at one time in your life, years ago, not now, not the not this, you know, syrupy sweet gin Scordo, but the previous Scordo, you know, the one with vinegar Vanessa version of you. Have ever time two fellas fought, perhaps over you?
Yeah.
You gonna say that all nonchalant like that?
Yeah.
Again, Twitter's definitely the wrong spot to discuss this. I don't know if this is the right medium to discuss this. But what I'm going to attempt to do, like I always do when I'm in the big chair, is I'm going to attempt to elevate this conversation beyond just the old, this is the worst thing to ever happen. Or, man, that Philly came out and he slept like, I don't want to do that, okay? I also have to say, like, am I a bad person because I don't think it's that big a deal?
No.
Like, all right, like, and I realize that people are talking about two Americas and all this kind of stuff. And again, I would like to talk sports, but two Americans. If I see somebody get slapped, not punched, not hurt, not even pushed, slapped, I usually think the person who got slapped did something to make the guy slap him, because that's the act of the disrespect.
Yeah,
a punch could be something different, but the slap, I was like, I guess somebody didn't like what Chris Rock just said. He slapped him. I don't know. I could be completely wrong about this, but so this is the hierarchy today. It's all about the people. I see we have a full board. We're going to get to everybody. It's about the people. I'm going to go where you want to go, okay? Because the reaction word of the day has been off the charts. So if you want to react to the Sixers, we will do that. If you want to react to the Eagles, we will do that. If you want to react to the slap, we will also do that. It is up to the people today. Because I'm not going to be swimming against the current. Now, which fish goes with the current and which fish goes against the current?
So the salmon goes against the current.
I'm not salmon today. I'm going with the current.
Which is every other fish in the world, right?
I guess, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
I think. Well, no, I'm sure that's not correct. But
let's
yes,
pick like a
salmon
tuna.
Does
a tuna
swim
goes
up.
With the current.
So yeah. I'm probably. At the mercy of the people. Okay, I've said all that I could really say about this situation at this point, but I'm just trying to be a arbiter of elevated conversation versus some of the drivel that I am seeing on, my children will now think it's okay. Well, then that means you're a bad parent. Because, like, you see stuff on TV. No, you see stuff on TV all the time.
Right. No, I agree with
you. I'm tired of this. Like, you see stuff on TV all the time. Like, my dad would curse in front of us sometimes, especially my brother and I. We still weren't allowed to curse. You want to know why? Because he said so. I saw New Jack City. Did I use a kid as a human shield? No, I didn't use a kid as a human shield like Nito Brown. I saw New Jack City as a kid. Just because you see something, it's your job to make sure they don't do it. Not Will Smith's job or anybody else's job. So miss me with that part as well. If you're going to call about the children, they had to see the heinous act way past their bedtime, by the way. Why weren't they in bed? They had school today. Plus, they saw an open hand slap and then no audio. Oh, the humanity. Like, come on. 610-632-0975. All right. We'll have your phone calls and more on the other side. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. Now it's time for What's Brewing with Jed. I can't wait. Brought to you by Dunkin'. It's always game on with Dunkin'. Reward members, pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Jennifer, what do we have today? I'm excited.
Today, we're going to start with a slap.
Oh.
How about that?
All right.
But this came from a woman in Vermont. She recently saved her chihuahua. Tiny is the chihuahua's name, from a bobcat.
A bobcat?
A bobcat.
Wow.
With a left hook. So Christina and Tiny were walking. The bobcat attacked. Christina ended up pulling the chihuahua out of the bobcat's mouth and then hitting it. But I mean, like, sucker punched it with a left hook.
Yeah.
She said the bobcat just took a step back, looked at her, and turned around and ran. She saved her chihuahua.
Yeah. See, that's real bravery.
That's using, you know, a left hook.
Because I can tell you this. When it comes to pets and wild animals can have it.
Oh, really?
No. It's a wild animal.
I know, but it's your chihuahua.
Uh-huh.
It's a bobcat, too. It's not a lion. Like, you can say a bobcat can kill you.
I'm talking about a bobcat can kill you.
How big are they? Like 20 pounds?
What?
I don't know how big bobcats are.
Bobcats are small.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll look it
up. They're tall.
Like, are you a bobcatsman? How do you know this?
I've seen a bobcat or two.
You know, like, not the bobcat.
No, you haven't.
You haven't swam.
Like, yeah.
I've seen, like, pictures. I watch nature documentaries.
In a picture.
Oh, all right.
Let me look it up.
Not like in the hills, though.
But I'm not going hands. I don't like putting my hands near anything that could bite. I'm kicking that thing.
Okay, yeah, I would kick a bobcat, maybe.
Yeah.
But first things first is getting it back. Like the guy
that
ran into the water and fought the alligator. No.
Yeah. No. I don't know that I would have done that one.
I'm not doing that.
Maybe, though. I don't know. It depends on how much that animal means to you.
I have a cat named Presley. Presley's the best cat in the world and the worst cat in the world. And I'm not going to die. Like, I'm not fighting a wild animal for my cat.
These things are 14 to 40 pounds. I'm cooking that thing.
All right.
I'm cooking that.
I mean, 14 pounds.
Well, 40 pounds.
That's got to be a baby.
Yeah, 40 pounds is more.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm still cooking 40 pounds. I'm kicking the hell out of that thing.
So, all right, make that a second Twitter poll then. Do you think Connor Thomas could beat a bobcat in a fight?
Easily.
All right.
Good on you, Connor. Okay, so a new study by York University reveals that eating seafood may be immoral.
Immoral.
Yeah, you eat a lot of seafood, Tyrone.
Yeah.
All right.
Why is it immoral versus cows, pigs? Pigs are smarter than dogs, and we kill pigs like it's nothing. They're smarter than dogs.
Now, I'm not comparing the two, but saying that it could be immoral in the same vein that you speak of. Evidently, octopus, squid, and crabs have emotions and feel pain.
Oh, yeah. I could buy that.
You do?
Yeah, I believe that. It's possible. Yeah.
Octopus
are very smart.
They are very smart.
They figure out how to, like, solve, they can use tools to fix things, to figure stuff out.
Yeah, they pick, like, games. They'll have them on TV to have them pick in. They won't know, but, like, they're smart enough to go and grab objects.
Well, I'm more talking about, like, in the ocean. They'll see a jar with a lid on it.
They can
know,
open it?
Let me untwist this jar.
Because there's something inside.
Yeah, they.
Huh.
And they're smart enough to figure out, okay, this rock will fall on. They can solve it.
So they got, like, spatial reasoning and stuff.
Yes, they're smart. Octopus, in particular, are pretty smart.
I love octopus. Like, to eat it. Now you're making me feel bad.
See, I don't eat octopus.
You just got to be comfortable with eating really smart things.
But you eat pork and
I do.
Like the mirror test. They talk about how certain animals fail.
Yeah.
Not pigs.
What
they
do you mean?
Know when they look at a reflection, certain animals aren't smart enough to know that's them in the reflection.
Oh, right.
Pigs are smart enough. They're smarter than dogs.
They also pass the sizzle test, though.
I had
them in the pan.
Yeah, but you don't know what dog tastes like. There's something wrong with that. Like, I'm not saying we should start eating dog. What I'm saying is a pig should at least be treated, if you want to go by intelligence, like it's just a dumb animal,
right,
at least as good as a dog.
Huh.
And we don't.
Well, some people have pigs as pets.
Right, because you can housebreak them. You can domesticate them.
How about that? Okay, well, this study, it was commissioned by the UK government, says that there's strong enough evidence to conclude that octopus may experience other emotions such as curiosity and exploration, affection for individuals, or excitement in anticipation of a future reward.
See, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, they're smart.
Like, that's pretty smart. Yeah.
Now I'm going to feel bad the next time I go order some calamari or some crabs. I do love them, though. All right, and moving on to the Oscars, but still not talking about a slap. The value of last night's Oscars goodie bag soared well over $140,000 a piece.
So, Will, since you slapped somebody, turn in the goodie bag.
Yeah, or go donate That's your punishment somewhere.
For the slap.
So yeah, evidently, some of the items in the final bag were a plot of land in Scotland.
What?
The new owner receives a Lord and Lady title, which I would imagine would be worth more than $140,000 on its own. But anyway, that's what this is.
There's like Lord Ryan Gosling now of Scotland somewhere.
Right.
Lord Tyrone Johnson. Wow.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, you like that. I knew you would. Extra virgin olive oil infused with gold flakes. Plastic surgery, but only for your arms. $10,000.
Oh, well, you know, you got the arm, the jiggly arm.
You got the jiggly arm?
All right. The jiggly arm.
I guess so. $10,000 worth of Botox, fillers, and other plastic surgery. A three-night stay at a Scottish castle includes private butler and bagpiper.
What was it, the Scotland Oscars?
I was going to say, like, Scotland definitely marketed the Oscars.
Yeah, they stepped up.
Scotland is trying to influence.
Good job, Scotland.
An orca pool float.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of fun.
Like $20 at Target.
And life coaching, self-love coaching, and private training sessions.
Wow.
All included in the Oscar gift bag this year.
Now, that's just the irony, the cruel irony. We were talking about this with a young person that works here
the other day.
That's
right. We were, last week.
People don't give you stuff until you can afford stuff.
Yep.
When you need stuff, nobody gives you anything.
Nope.
The moment you can afford something is when people will give it to you.
Totally true.
That's just the way of the world. It's weird.
It doesn't make sense.
It's weird because all of us could use a plot of land. And a
Lord and Lady title.
Yeah, Lord and Lady title. And
Lady Jennifer.
Lady Jennifer. Jennifer Villanova.
I'd prefer Duke. I think would be a cool one.
Duke is good.
Yeah, Duke's not bad.
Yeah.
Thomas of somewhere in Scotland.
I think that is an actual political term, though. Yeah, I think Lady and Lord is just...
I got to run for Duke. I got to get votes for Duke.
I think so.
Dukeship.
Yeah, I think so.
You can't just throw that around. You're going to have to earn that or marry into it. And then as she rises, you can get to do it.
Well, any duchesses out there, any duchesses who like Philadelphia sports, give me a ring.
610-632-0975. She's out there. Don't worry, buddy.
That's
all right. That was What's Brewing with Jennifer. Fantastic. Brought to you by Dunkin'. It's always game on with Dunkin'. Reward members, pick your day to score free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Big 4 o'clock hour coming up. Your phone calls to start. Dave Zangaro from the NFL owners meeting at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to continue to have fun. Word of the week is reaction. Word of the day is reaction. It's been a heck of a reaction to things. And we also have thankfully been mixing in sports. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Live from the NFL owners meetings right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia is Dave Zangaro on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Dave?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. So before we get into the owners meeting, people were calling for the Eagles, calling them out for some of their inactivity. And over the weekend, they signed a linebacker who I know was a college safety but was very productive last year. What can you tell us about the Eagles' latest signing?
Yeah, Kaiser White's a pretty good player. He was a guy who made a lot of sense for them when you started looking at players around the league, especially at positions they needed. Linebacker is clearly one of them. And Howie Rosen revealed today that he was a player they liked and they didn't think they'd really have a chance to sign him. And that does kind of show up in the way they got him later in free agency. The reported terms of the contract, it's 1 year up to $5 million, which means it's less than that with an opportunity to make $5 million. So it's probably less than White thought he was going to get on the open market. And it's why the Eagles were able to snatch him up. I think it's an improvement. And I get if you're wary about it because they've struggled signing veteran linebackers to 1 year deals. You just have to look back to last year at Eric Wilson. So if you just look at the player though and not their history at the position, I think he can feel pretty good about it. I know he's a converted safety, and that scares people, too, based on the history of Nate Gary, but it means he's rangy. He's able to be pretty sure as a tackler too, though. There's a lot to like about him, and it's a signing that they don't really have to. They didn't put a ton into. So, to me, it's a kind of a low risk, high reward type of signing. It's not the big splash that Hassan Reddick was, or that fans wanted in some other areas. But to me, it makes a ton of sense.
It does, and I'm excited about the signing, and I appreciate that. Now, before we get to what's going on right now, you look at the defense, and you mentioned Reddick. That everybody likes that move. He's a double-digit sack guy. You now have an outside linebacker, and I think he'll cover tight ends a little bit better than all the linebackers covered tight ends, for example, last year. Still nothing yet as far as the safety position or the cornerback position. Do you think there could possibly be something to come in the next few days or the next few weeks, or will this be addressed in the draft?
Yeah, those are, that you're looking at holes on the roster right now, those are two of the biggest ones. I know they brought back Anthony Harris, so at least on paper they have one of those spots filled, but that's not good enough. And I was of the belief that they would either bring back Harris or Rodney McLeod, and now that they brought back Harris, I just don't think it's good enough to bring back both of them and kind of run back the group they had last year, as much as I like Rodney. So that puts them in a tough spot, because now they have to fill a spot and try to get better, and that's not easy to do. And then at corner, I mean, Steven Nelson is still out there, so you have to think that if he doesn't get the type of deal he wants and he has to do another one-year deal, the Eagles would still be, I think, willing to bring him back on a one-year deal if the price is right. But I think there's a possibility those get figured out, but they're clearly not done at the positions. At least at cornerback, you can say, you know, maybe they'll draft the first round guy and plug and play, but they've never drafted a safety in the first round. So I think it'd be foolish to think they're going to go that route. And it gets a little dangerous when you're doing it this way. I know Howie today talked about their lack of moves and mentioned that, well, they have these draft picks and they don't want to end up basically redshirting these really good young players because they kind of panicked and signed veterans for more than they should have. But the problem is you can't get into a situation when you're in the draft thinking, oh man, we really need a safety. We have to drop the safety, because that's when you kind of reach and you make some mistakes. So that'd be my one fear with what he said today.
Yes, and that was going to lead me right to the next question. How he addresses the media kind of sort of today, out at the owners' meeting. Usually a lot of action, some things happen out at the meeting. Howie also talked about his re-signing of players and bringing guys back as well. And the tough part for some fans, Dave, and I'll let you react to it, is that the team was 9-8 last year, and it was aided by some bad quarterbacks, and then they were down 31-0 in the playoff game. So some people think that the running it back thing that he's been discussing kind of doesn't make sense because the team's not good enough. How do you react to that?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two ways to look at it, right? On one hand, you can look at the broad scope of it, and that sentiment's there. You look at it and you go, they won 9 games last year. Sure, they got to the playoffs, but that team wasn't good enough. They need to improve, and most of their moves this offseason have been to bring back guys who were on that team. But if you look individually at the moves, you can make a case for all of them. I mean, even the Derek Barnett move, which I know is a very unpopular one right now. Mm-hmm. I get it from a football standpoint. I mean, he's not a great player. He's an average player in the league, and presumably they're bringing him back to be a rotational guy. And I don't think anyone would have a problem with that if he came from a different team. It's the fact that he's coming from the Eagles. And look, I think that stuff matters, you know. Mm-hmm. He has to deal with that. And based on what I know about Derek Barnett, it won't bother him too much, but it's got to bother him on some level to be back in a town where, you know, look, he's not a draft bust. He isn't, because he's a functional player. He might not be a good player, but he plays. But where he's certainly a disappointing player, I mean, certainly a disappointing first-round pick, and he has to live with that here. So you look at that player by himself and you think, okay, it's not a splash move. They're bringing him back as a rotational piece, and that's fine. But for me, it's a little tough to separate Derek Barnett, the player, from Derek Barnett, the failed first-round pick.
Yes, and that's where, because of his lack of production and because of the personal foul penalties, they're like, is there no – I know for a fact some fans have called last week when they made the move and said, could they not find somebody else who is young but only had two sacks. So you're not looking for a young great player. You're just looking for a body. And you mentioned a rotation, so we know Sweat and we know some guys, and we know that they mentioned that Reddick was a linebacker, and I guess he's going to play like a hybrid spot. I guess there has to be times where he's going to have his hand in the ground, or otherwise, who is the rotation with? Because it seems like they're a little thin there if Reddick doesn't have his hand in the ground.
Yeah, I agree with you that they are thin there still. Even after bringing in Reddick, whether you call him a linebacker or an edge player, whatever you call him, they're still kind of weaker when you look at the edge rusher portion of it. And a lot of that's because I don't know how much you can rely on Brandon Graham. As much as we all love him and as well as he's played when he's healthy, he will be 34 coming off an Achilles. So they can't get into this situation where they're kind of over-relying on him. If they get him back, it'd be great. It would be a big boost for them because he was playing at a really high level even, you know, the previous year in 2020. So if they get that guy back, or at least, you know, part of that guy back, it would be great. I just don't know. I think it'd be a little foolish to really rely on that given his age and given him coming off this injury. So I still think that is a position that makes a ton of sense, if not in the first round, in day two, where they can get a player and plug and play him. I still think that's very much on the table.
Talking to Dave Zangaro from NBC Sports Philadelphia about the NFL owners meetings. I saw the team picture with the head coach and things like that. And then speaking of Sirianni, they've so far wide receiver was the main offensive spot. People feel good about the offensive line. People feel fairly good about the running backs, and they know Gainwell's a young player. Hurts appears to be the quarterback. People, he's a pretty popular player now. He's become a popular player. But wide receiver was a spot where they thought maybe Juju Smith-Schuster and different guys. I know that they were linked together. It hasn't worked out, and they get a guy who, for it seems like he's like a fourth wideout, but he was coached by Sirianni previously. Do you think they're still a little thin at that wide receiver spot going into the end of free agency and the draft?
I absolutely do. And that's kind of the spectrum I look at this move through, the Zach Pascal move, because if they're signing him to be a piece, a guy who can play here and there, if he's replacing J-Jaw, fine. If he's taking snaps away from Jalen Reagor, even better. But I don't think you can look at him and that signing and think, okay, they've fixed this position, they're good to go. And how we talked today about, you know, how they haven't wavered from their support of Jalen Hurts, and that's about building this team around him to help him get to his potential. You can argue they haven't done that right now because the receiver position hasn't improved enough. And it's not necessarily that I blame them for not overspending on some players. You know, they were interested in Christian Kirk, and then he got $18 million a year. So I can't fault them for not overpaying a player like that. But it also means that they can't be finished at that spot. And that's another position, even if it's not in the first round, you can get good receivers on day two. And sometimes this team has struggled to do that, but they're out there and they have to try again because I really don't think they're settled there.
No, I appreciate that, Dave. So Howie addressed the meeting today. What's the plan over the next few days out there at the meetings? Last thing.
Sure. Nick Sirianni will be bright and early on Tuesday morning, 7:45. So we'll get to chat with him. And then the plan is for Jeff Lurie to speak, which is really the prize of coming to the owners' meetings. Jeff Lurie doesn't really speak to reporters very much anymore. The last time he did was when they introduced Nick Sirianni, and even that was really just an opening statement. He hasn't answered questions since they fired Doug Peterson. So it's been a really long time. A lot's changed since then. So I'm really looking forward to that. We don't get to chat with him very often. He's the most important person in the franchise. And sometimes it might not seem that way, but you have to remember he's always, you know, they don't make a major move without him. So it'll be interesting to talk to him and see what he has to say about Nick's first year as head coach, about Howie and the job he's done, about the contract extension for Howie Roseman that keeps him here for another 3 years after this coming season. So there's a lot to talk to Lurie about, and he also won an Oscar, so maybe we'll ask him about that too.
Yes, as executive producer, yes, he did. Thanks
so
much.
Big news from the Oscars, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, that was the thing, yes.
Yeah.
Jeff Lurie's Oscar. And Dave, is Julian there? Have you seen him?
I have not, and that might be another topic of conversation for him. You know, the more visual his son becomes, you start to wonder, what's this transition process? Is it beginning, or when will it begin? I think those are valid questions.
Yeah, well, appreciate the time so much, Dave. Great stuff, and everybody should be reading your stuff each and every day at NBCSportsPhilly.com. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
All right, that was Dave Zangaro on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.